In the 4th century AD, Abbot Antony of Egypt, one of the early Christian desert fathers, was sitting in church. Now, he was young at the time, not yet fully formed in his faith, not yet an abbot. Antony's parents had just died 6 months earlier, leaving a sizable estate to him and his younger sister. During the Mass, Antony heard the reading about the rich young ruler whom Christ advised to sell all he had and give to the poor. So what did he do? Antony at once gave his land to the villagers and sold most of his goods, giving the proceeds to the poor. Later, meditating on another passage from Scripture, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow," Antony sold what remained of his possessions, parked his sister in a convent, and went off to be an anchorite, a solitary ascetic in the wilderness. Just like that. Sadly, we can only surmise that his sister had no say in her fate. Today is the third Sunday after the Epiphany, a day I have informally named Call and Response Sunday. Because every year, the theme of this Sunday is the same, as we heard in this morning's collect. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I love this Sunday, in part because we usually sing my favorite hymn, as we will today, "They Cast Their Nets in Galilee." But also this Sunday is, for me, and I hope for you today too, a sort of regrounding in our faith. It comes early in the cycle of our church year, so the feeling is of a fresh new start. Like those disciples in today's gospel reading called from their nets to follow Jesus, we are recalled, if you will, from our everyday lives of work and worry, reminded that we are to center our life in God. Another reason I sort of love Call and Response Sunday is that it kind of makes me squirm. It's not a comfortable day for us Christians. Always this example is set before us of Peter and Andrew, James and John, leaving everything to follow Jesus. It's difficult to imagine anyone leaving their livelihood, their life, with such alacrity. Though a fisherman's work was hard and subject to chance and to weather, it was what they knew and how they fed their family. The only thing I can imagine that would compel these men to drop everything is that they saw in an instant that Jesus was the embodiment of God's love. So in a way, they had no choice but to follow. And so this Sunday is uncomfortable for us who choose not to follow their example of surrender and leaving our entire life behind. I took part in a diocesan leadership retreat yesterday in Salinas. At our worship service, the bishop preached on today's gospel passage, and she wondered aloud, how many fishermen did Jesus call out to who didn't respond? How many times did he extend the invitation to others before these four answered? How many wouldn't even look up from mending their nets to see who was addressing them? We don't hear about those men, the ones who can't or won't make room for God's invitation in their life. And how many times do we, in our church life, not look up from that line item in our budget, from our fundraising event planning, from our coffee hour bustling, to hear Jesus calling us? Because after all, that's why we're here. And we can so often forget about Jesus when we are doing the hard work necessary to keep this church running. Or when we're so preoccupied with the tasks and the problems in our own lives that we lose the central point, God's love for us and our grounding in Christ. What exactly would it take for us to be one of the four who do respond? And to what extent must we sacrifice our livelihoods, our future, to follow Jesus? In the 13th century, St. Francis of Assisi was visited by a wealthy man named Bernard. Initially despising Francis, Bernard was soon moved by his piety and his sacrificial nature, and he asked to join him. Francis suggested they go to Mass and to pray on it. Following the service and after many hours of prayer, Francis asked the priest there to make the sign of the cross over the missal, the service book, and to open it randomly three times in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the first opening, this passage appeared, the same one that Antony of Egypt had heard 1,000 years earlier. If you wish to be perfect, go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Matthew 19:21. At the second opening of the book, these words appeared, which Christ spoke to the apostles when he sent them out to preach. Take nothing for your journey, neither staff, nor script, nor bread, nor money. Luke 9:3. At the third opening, these words appeared. If any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Mark 8:34. A little bit of a trend here. Upon hearing these last words, Francis looked at Bernard and said, "Behold the advice that Christ gives us. Go now and accomplish what you have read." And Bernard went off, sold all he had, and became a devoted companion to Francis. What are we to make of these stories? How can we reasonably apply them to our lives? Well, before I answer that, allow me first to be uncharacteristically blunt, to pull back the curtain on our faith and reveal just for a moment what should actually be pretty obvious, but that I know I would rather not admit, and that is this. Yes, Jesus consistently calls us to leave our lives behind and follow him. I don't really see a way around that. I don't recall a passage in the Bible where he says, you know, just help out when you can, here and there, and you'll be fine. Or I don't remember a scripture passage that says, when I said love your neighbor as yourself, I meant love yourself first, and then your neighbor. Put your own oxygen mask on first to assure your comfort before helping others. Those passages are not in the Bible because that is not the message Christ has for us. The actual message, which Paul admits in today's epistle, the message about the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message about the cross is a call to surrender, follow, suffer, and die for the sake of God in Christ Jesus, our Savior. And that, my friends, is too mighty a task for 99% of us to undertake, myself included. But I wanted to pull back that curtain just for a moment so that together we could admit that a hard truth lies behind our faith. Now, having acknowledged this together and trusting in God's mercy to fill in the gaps where we lack things, I will now let the curtain drop once more. Here's what we can do, from most reasonable to least. We can pray regularly for others. We can set that as an intention and mean it. We can engage in what William calls checkbook charity, donating to the church and other organizations that strive to bring God's love to people in need of it. Now, that phrase, checkbook charity, may seem a little flip, but it is important for the survival of organizations. Then we can start giving of our time more often, volunteering for those same places that we write checks to. And it gets a little more unreasonable. We can allow more discomfort into our lives, breaking out of our shells, out of our self-absorption, and taking more personal risks for the sake of the gospel. Now, some of you already do these things and more. Your participation here is one big reason why a diocesan leader said to me at yesterday's retreat, What is going on over there at St. Luke's that you are doing so well? Had I been more present in the moment, I would have said, we are merely doing what Christ calls us to do. And we are doing well. And you are in so many ways in this parish and in your life. And for that, let us give thanks. Maybe what is required, maybe the best we can do. Well, before I say that, let me give you a little bit of good news. Let me be uncharacteristically giving of good news to you. We are doing a lot here already. Look around you. Know that the memorial garden stones got all done within a day, 97 markers, when we didn't know what would happen, that people show up for all kinds of things to help each other, that a number of you went to Jill Cockrell's memorial service and showed your love for Father Ernest, that you care about each other. Those are good things, and I am not meaning to take those away from you. It's just to say that's what happens when we choose to give of ourselves. Well, maybe what is required, maybe the best we can do, is to adopt a disposition of spirit such that should we ever be called to a larger sacrifice at some point in our life, we will be ready to say yes with an open heart. A parishioner sent me a poem last week by Rosemary Wattola Trommer that may describe this spiritual disposition well. I'm going to read part of it to you. So I can't save the world, can't save even myself, can't wrap my arms around every frightened child, can't foster peace among nations, can't bring love to all who feel unlovable. So I practice opening my heart right here in this room and being gentle with my insufficiency. I practice walking down the street heart first. And if it is insufficient to share love, I will practice loving anyway. To love as if it matters, as if the world depends on it. Saint Fabian was martyred in Rome in the year 250. According to the historian Eusebius, Fabian, when he was younger, just happened to be in a crowd when they were electing a new pope. Just a layman, he was just passing through town, not even ordained. While he stood there watching the goings-on, a dove suddenly flew over the people and landed on Fabian's head. In spite of the fact that he was both a total stranger and not even a candidate for election, the people unanimously chose Fabian to be pope, shouting, "He is worthy! He is worthy!" Fabian was ordained to the episcopate without opposition. He didn't even have to go to seminary. And you know, Fabian did a fantastic job. He loved his people. He spoke truth to power. He fought against heresy. And then he was martyred in the persecutions under Emperor Decius. Martyrdom for us will most likely be more metaphorical. Having to die to our old ways of life, the ones that keep us from living into God's call for us. So I guess I leave you with this question. What will you do when the dove descends upon you?